It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It is the Hop Monk Drive Brouhaha with Herlinda and, of course, Mark Carpenter. Since 71, he started working at Anchor in San Francisco. Good to see everybody.
Well, thank you very much. I've got a great German beer in front of me right now, and then we're going to move to a Louisville beer.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in Louisville?
I wrote a story about Louisville beer, and then my housemate happened to go to Lexington, and he called me from a liquor store, and I said, put me on the phone with the store clerk, and we arranged for him to bring some things home.
Wow. So there's a big happening craft beer scene everywhere now.
Everywhere.
I just thought Mark would like this, actually, as soon as I saw it.
And apparently he does.
Well, it's a beer, right? You know my favorite beer.
Beer.
The one in front of me.
Yeah. Tara is here. She, as I've said, is the beer writer for Forbes. And I always say, a lot of you didn't know Forbes had a beer writer. I didn't either until Herlinda introduced us to Tara. She is back in town, lives outside of Philly.
Go Eagles.
Go Eagles, man. I was so into that. I still say it's the best Super Bowl I've ever seen. And I'm a big Philadelphia sports fan. I grew up
Thank
in Detroit,
you.
But we used to go to Philly quite often in high school. We'd drive straight through from Detroit to Philly and spend a long weekend because I had a bunch of friends there. And I've had some fun in Philly.
You could have fun again in Philly. People don't give it nearly enough credit.
No, I agree completely.
There.
The only thing is, last time Mike and I were there for the convention in July of 2016, and it was hell on earth. 100 degrees, 5,000 degrees humidity. It was one of the worst summers, they said, in a while. And I don't do the heat good anymore.
Mm.
So it was rough. And we had a lot of walking to do to get to the Wells Fargo Center. You
sure.
know, they'd drop us off in an Uber, and then we had to walk a long way. And it was just torturous. But still love Philly.
Philly is fantastic. Our beer scene is, you know, in the top five of the East Coast, maybe top
it.
Two or three.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there is listening and just sort of thinks that Philly is flyover zone between D.C. and New York.
No way.
You're wrong.
No.
Well, was it the first beer week in Philadelphia?
Very much, yes. And San Francisco may have been the second. I mean, it was early, but Philly Beer Week was the first.
Now, Tara Nurin has been with us before. So, like I said, she's back in town. Tell us the Forbes beer writing story. How long have you been there? And then, but also give us your background when it comes to beer.
Well, I've been the Forbes Beer and Spirits writer for about 2 years, and what's been nice in the evolution of being the Forbes beer writer is that as sort of my name has gotten out there as the beer writer, because you're right, I don't think there was a beer writer before me. Mm. I've gotten to do a ton of beer travel, and you know, you mentioned that we're drinking a German beer right now. I picked it up in Berlin. I was just brought to Weinstephan, and Mark says it better than I do. How do you say
I don't
say
think you
it?
Can say that on the radio.
Yeah. Mark, I just say Weinstephan.
Weinstephan, yeah, I'm not sure. You're
I don't
probably
know if it's
right.
Correct or not, just,
yeah.
but,
I say
that's the way I say it.
And you say I should really know because they just paid for me to go there. But
what's their story?
So their story is they're the oldest brewery in the world. They're outside Munich, and they're turning 1,000 years old in about a decade. So they're 900, not whatever. I'm a writer. I don't
yeah.
do math.
Well,
but,
I remember
you know.
When they opened. I was alive.
Yeah. They've been around almost as long as me.
And they just did a collaboration with Sierra Nevada, which is, you know, as most of you guys listening probably know, right up here in Chico. And what was super cool about that is you've got the oldest brewery in the world, 1,000 years old, collaborating with the oldest craft brewery, modern craft brewery, post-prohibition in the country. And so it was really poetic. And that beer is going to be available in the States in April. And I'm sure you guys will get some and maybe have some people on the job.
Do we know
it.
The style?
Yeah, it's a wheat beer, just like the flagship I'm just going to say it the way I say it, Weinstephan beer is, but it's a hoppy wheat beer. So they're combining like California hoppy ethos with the old German wheat style that they've been famous for.
What kind of hops are they doing in there, do you know?
Very good question, my dear. They're using Hallertau hops, which are an old German hop.
I've been there. Just so you have to, Mark.
Oh, the Hallertau?
Yeah.
Okay, and then they're using two West Coast hops. I don't want to say which ones because I might get them wrong, but two East Coast of, you know, very sort of modern hops. So they're definitely combining old and new.
So, Mark, about this German beer.
Yes.
I know it's the beer in front of you, so it's, it's your favorite.
Yes.
But explain.
Okay, this is, it's a German, it says on the label German IPA in English, otherwise I wouldn't know it, but, and my impression of it is this, it's a fairly pale beer, it's plenty bitter, but not near as bitter as most California IPAs.
Really?
What brewery Southern is this?
It's a rare craft, so craft breweries are very few and far between, but growing in Germany, and this is called Bierlo. It's in Berlin.
In Berlin, and it's got not as much aroma as we would expect in a California IPA. But it's a sound beer, and it's good. I'm perfectly happy with it.
Well, of course you are.
Yeah.
It's beer. It's
exactly.
Beer.
And you notice how I restrained myself and didn't come across the table when she said Sierra was the oldest craft
Thank
brewery.
You.
I'm sorry. That's true. Usually I say depending
it's
on
okay.
definition. Mark, I am so
okay.
sorry.
Don't
I can't
worry.
Believe I just
Don't worry.
Said that.
Don't worry. It would be Anchor.
It would be Anchor, yes. Right, depending
People,
on definition.
I'm in the middle of the boxing ring over here.
What's the alcohol on this, Tara?
On the Bierlo, you know what? Great question. I got to check. 7%.
Oh, that's reasonable.
It's high for German beer. It's really high for German
beer. Oh, they're all making American-style beers. You know, you were there, and they just... This whole trend towards high alcohol, I'm not a huge fan of, although I drink them. But, you know, around the world, they're making American-style beers now.
Yeah, which is fascinating to me.
It is, because we used to go to Germany and to England to learn about beer and beer styles and how to make beer.
Now they're coming
and
to us.
Everyone comes to us. Yeah. America is truly the leader.
Speaking of that, Pliny the Younger is still on sale till, I believe, the 24th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 weeks.
At Russian River Brewing. We had Natalie on the other day. And, of course, every year we've been, for 10 years, I guess, we've been the first to taste the year's Pliny the Younger. They bring in some growlers, Natalie
and
Vinny.
That was fabulous.
Yeah, and it also pisses a lot of people off. So I like to rub
breakfast.
It in. I like to rub it in. You know, we're tasting the first Pliny. No, don't get in line. That's all right.
We're laughing because the beer from Louisville I brought, it was a little hot in the car. It just... Mark just opened it and it spilled all over him.
Well, Mike's got paper towels, and Mark is not sitting near the equipment, so it's all good.
Okay.
Your thoughts on Pliny the Younger. Now, you weren't here, were you, for the opening day of Pliny?
I was not, because I had to stay in Philly for the Super Bowl.
Oh,
otherwise,
of course.
I would have been here.
But Tara's been drinking the Pliny today already.
That's right,
so
for
you've
breakfast.
Been over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Natalie brought us some over this morning when we went to interview her about tourism in Sonoma.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's 10.2 this year, and it was delicious.
Yeah, I tasted it last week, and everyone here, including Mark, was talking about the word citrus was coming up, right?
Yes.
Because I even noticed that.
Yes.
And I'm not a huge beer guy, but I thought, out of all the years I've tasted the Pliny the Younger, this year was my favorite.
Oh, yeah?
But
it was a delicious beer, and there's a lot of modern hops that are that have that
Thanks,
citrus,
Jim.
Have that citrus flavor.
Very grapefruity this year, and it was actually kind of nice. We were actually in Natalie's office, and Tara was interviewing her about, because she's here to talk about Sonoma County surviving after the fires, that we're here and open for business. And I have to admit, I got a little emotional when Natalie and I were talking about the fires and our recollections of how things happened. But Tara's here to show us going forward. And
you're writing
positive.
An article? For Forbes?
I don't know that it'll be for Forbes. I'm still pitching it around.
Oh,
but
cool.
I do see a lot of opportunity for a lot of different stories. I mean,
yeah.
There are a lot of sort of threads that a lot of different narratives.
And we need to let everyone know around the world that we're open for business. The wine industry's fine. The craft beer industry's fine,
right,
et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that I think is a big reason that Visit Santa Rosa, with Herlinda's huge help, you know, wanted to bring me a national reporter out, because as happens so often, you know, when you're far away and you hear about disasters, you miss the nuance. Like, the media isn't very good at nuance. And yeah, so I think
only people, KSRO is.
Only KSRO. And so people don't realize that a lot of what was damaged was more like the day-to-day, the residential stuff,
right,
as opposed to the tourism amenities.
We only lost one major winery, Paradise Ridge. Thanks, Jim. He doesn't look happy. We're good. We didn't get on the equipment.
Give him a beer.
Old equipment. Do it now.
Yeah, that's true. Because we're getting all new equipment. Okay, everybody, shake your bottle. And, okay. Okay, continue.
Mm. No, that was all. I mean, I was just saying that I think as Herlinda just said, and I think as probably most people in Sonoma know, or at least feel, you know, there's still so much tourism infrastructure that's intact. There's no reason for tourists to stay away.
What have you seen while you've been here?
Oh, there's been a lot. I mean, today we had a really nice lunch pairing at Kendall Jackson. Chef Matt took really good care of us. We went out to Bodega Bay.
Love the Matster.
He brought you a present, actually.
Oh,
we're
really
supposed to give it to you after the
segment. He usually does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, Herlinda's driven me through Coffee Park a couple times, and I've seen, you know, the before and after, but I've also seen that anything that somebody would want to come out and visit, you know, as far as wine or beer is still here. Everybody's moving forward. You know, we've got lines for, I say Pliny, I'm going to say Pliny, younger, whatever you call it, you know.
It is Pliny.
Vinny told me Pliny once, and I cannot get rid of that.
He'd probably had a few.
Vinny, please call in and set this straight for us.
Yeah, guys, go ahead.
We're actually going there tonight as well with Mark tonight to go have a...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it'll be good.
We'll have a couple.
And then
Russian
Sunday,
River Brewing, folks.
Yeah, Sunday we're going to go meet with Peter Lang from Safari West and do a little tour, but she's going to get a chance to interview Peter, who saved all the animals at Safari West.
Yeah, here's a 77-year-old guy who saved all the animals at Safari
animals.
West.
That was really
while
amazing.
His house burned.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm trying to read Tara's handwriting. It's as bad as Mike's. Oh, we got to take a break and... I'll send this to a handwriting expert, and maybe they can translate it for me.
Killer.
It is The Drive, Hop Monk, Brouhaha, with Mark Carpenter from Anchor, Herlinda, and Tara Martin. Nurin from Forbes. She is the beer and spirits writer for Forbes magazine. I'm sure they got wine writers.
Plenty.
Yeah, I bet they have a bunch.
And that's not to be confused with Pliny.
It's
the younger.
Pliny. Yeah. Vinny'd have had a few, I'm sure. I'm just looking at this photo from Christmas. It's me cooking at the house with my son, and I've got a cigarette in my mouth, and I'm stirring the food. And I wrote my sister, another magical Vicario family Christmas. Because that's my real name. And I bring this up because my sister just texted me a photo of my new grandnephew slash cousin, Evan. 7 pounds, 13 ounces, born to my nephew, yay, Jeffrey Hill, and his lovely wife. Way to go. How cool. Yeah. Doesn't look like me at all. That's good.
That's a
he
really
has a
good
chance.
Thing.
Yeah, exactly. Tara's going to talk about something called the Guinness Storehouse.
Yeah.
What is that?
Okay, so St. Paddy's Day is kind of coming up, right? Next month, that's what they tell me. So,
yeah, you know, the only way I realize St. Paddy's Day is coming up is when I hear our production director, Daryl, having to do the worst Irish accent in the history of radio. And yeah, he's got, well, gosh, and be gory. Yeah, that's a good one, Daryl. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'm not even going to try.
So I have a grandnephew!
Yay.
You should send him a Guinness.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure my nephew would enjoy a few Guinnesses right now. Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, with St. Paddy's Day right around the corner.
March 17th.
thank you, as PR people always used to say, with Christmas right around the corner, and it's like February. You're like, no, it's not. Shut up. But anyway, they've really done a lot to the Guinness Visitor to enhance the Guinness Visitor's experience
over
the past couple
months.
You
just went there, right, for their 250th anniversary?
It is their 250th anniversary, and I got to admit, I think that was 2017, but that's when I was there. So, yeah, that would correspond. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about travel and tourism, you know, on this show today, and the Guinness Storehouse is the Guinness Visitor Experience. So when you go and you hear the words like St. James Gate tossed around, that always used to confuse me, maybe confuses you guys too.
Yeah.
So the St. James Gate is the complex. It takes a couple acres in Dublin of where Guinness is brewed. But within that, they have something called the Storehouse, which is like an 8-story brick tower that's been used for various purposes in brewing over the years. And they've just got this really robust visitor educational experience where you can taste all kinds of different Guinness. Why not?
Gotta love that.
Like I said, they've added a lot to it, you know, even in the past couple months. So they've done a really good job of sort of modernizing the educational experience, whereas before, like, I know my parents went when they got married or something.
Ooh, and I like that kind of a honeymoon.
There was nothing really to do, but now it's really interactive. It's a super, it breaks down the brewing process a lot, and they're all different kinds of add-ons that you can do with, like, fancy pairing dinners and, you know, make a Guinness your way. So that means, like, if you want to try doing different things with your Guinness, you can do it.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's very modern, and it's the only place in Europe that you can go and really learn about Guinness, because, Mark, you were saying that a long time ago you went to a Guinness experience.
I went to London, yeah, right? I went to to the brewery in London to look at racking equipment years ago. But I've been by the brewery in Dublin. And Dublin, you know, along with that experience, Dublin's just a really cool city.
I keep hearing that from everyone, including Bono, my good friend.
Yeah, it's very hip these days, and there's a lot of cool stuff there. I think it's Arthur Guinness is the man's name who started it. You talk about a great property deal. He got this location in London for a 9,000-year lease for £45.
Wow.
Get out.
I wouldn't lie to you. Isn't that amazing?
That's like $70 American or something.
Yeah. Actually, it's probably...
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The opposite.
Well, yeah, and it's 45 like, pounds in those days was probably worth quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
But still, I think you're only talking... I'll bet you're talking under $1,000, maybe.
Yeah, not,
but,
probably.
But in that money. But 9,000-year lease. Who would give a 9,000-year lease?
And perpetual water rights, too.
Yeah.
So they can use all the water they want forever.
The brewery, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. So you were talking about Guinness in London.
Yes.
But it all started in Dublin.
Yes, started in Dublin, absolutely.
And I mentioned Bono, my good friend, Paul McCartney. I was talking to him yesterday, and he said, Steve, stop dropping names on the show. So, how many times have I used that bad joke, Mike?
It never gets old, Steve.
Tara Nuren is here. She's the beer and spirits writer for Forbes magazine, back in town from Philly. So you missed the parade, but you got to stay in Philly and see the Super Bowl.
I did.
Good.
Yeah. What'd you drink while you were watching the game? That's what we want to know.
It was not Coors Light.
No, I bet it wasn't.
No, it was. I had one beer that night. It was Coors Light.
But you were at a party.
Oh, really?
So.
I was at a party.
And she was flying here the next morning.
And I was flying here at like 8 a.m. the next morning.
Well, that's the best time to drink a lot of beers before you get on the plane so you can sleep. Okay, I'm looking at Tara's list here of topics. And the next one is Jumanji Tevis.
I don't even know what that is. Brew Clout.
Overmatch.
That's
what I get. I'm sorry. My personal guy was out.
Mark's Travels.
Oh, well, I got that. What's before
Germany,
that?
Tara
brought German beer.
Oh, she brought the German beer. That's what we were talking about.
But, well, listen, since we're talking about beer, German beer, I've moved on to the American beer.
Okay.
This is the Louisville one.
The Louisville, and it's a... from Goodwood Brewery, a stout aged in bourbon barrel. And it's got kind of a tartness like Guinness. And when we started talking about Guinness, I thought, well, it's a good beer to drink while you're talking about Guinness. And you get a little bit of wood flavor. I don't know how long it was aged in barrel, but there's a little bit of wood flavor there. I didn't see the alcohol. Like a good stout, there's not much bitterness.
I see 12 fluid ounces.
What's in that little circle? What I think is so much fun about bourbon barrel-aged beer from Louisville is that you drive a cool pickup truck. They just literally jump in their trucks, and they go down the street to their
8%.
Friend's brewer distillery. They've known them since elementary school, and they just pick up the barrels.
Yeah, right, lots of barrels.
And they're super fresh, so you get, like, all of that oozy bourbon.
And that's
goodness.
Really important for barrel-aged beer. If you're doing bourbon barrel-aged, you really want that where it hasn't had time to all evaporate, you know. That's one advantage we had at Anchor is because the only aging we did was in our bourbon barrels. We don't make bourbon, I'm sorry, our rye barrels. And it made a huge difference, you know, with all that. There's about 5 gallons of whiskey that's in the barrel. Believe it or not.
5 gallons?
Yes. Oh. And I proved it 2 different ways. I weighed the barrel, and I weighed some empty barrels, new empty barrels in, and it always came out to about 5 gallons.
That there's residual bourbon left in the barrel
wood.
When it gets
in
to
the
you.
Wood.
Okay. Maybe that's where the angel share goes.
That's it.
Actually just in the wood, huh?
Well, a big portion of it, then it becomes our share again.
Steve sees breaking news or something over there.
Mike, I can't figure this out on my crappy phone. can you get my sister's caption and the photo of my grandnephew and get it up on our web face, butt face page, whatever. Thank you. Okay. So what else?
Well, so Tara's actually, we're going to go, let's see, I think I told you we're going to go to Safari West on Sunday. And we're going to go have an interview Peter Lang, who's the owner there, and do a little tour, have a beer while, because they do these, they do a beer and tour, Buffaloes and Brews.
Yeah,
so we're going to do that.
Yeah.
And it's also SF Beer Week. So Visit Santa Rosa brought Tara out here, and they are one of the big sponsors of San Francisco Beer Week. So we're going to go to the gala Friday night, and we've tried to talk Mark into going, but
he's not going.
He's retired. He's so retired.
I can relate, my friend.
Yeah. And then, but we are. She's going to get the chance to talk to the brewmaster for Bear Republic, and also his head brewer who lost his house in the fire as well, Rob. Mm-hmm. And then
St. Florian.
And St. Florian, we're going to go there Saturday for their anniversary. And St. Florian is owned also by a firefighter, Aaron, and she's going to get a chance to interview them as well.
And they've been in. You brought them in before.
I brought
cool.
them in. And Farley and Vine. Monday morning, we're going to get a chance to Christopher Jackson, Jess Jackson's son. We're going to she's going to get a chance to interview him and do a tour of Seismic Brewery, which is going to be very exciting. I haven't even been there yet.
I have not either, but it's a good beer.
Do you want to go?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. That'd be awesome.
Where
yes,
are they?
To get Mark out of his
yes.
house.
Yes.
They're in Santa Rosa.
They're in Santa Rosa. They have a huge brewery in Santa Rosa.
That's right.
Yes. And then guess what we're doing after that? We're going to Napa.
You're going to Hong Kong, Japan, and the zoo.
No, this is really cool. Jim Morris is now at Krug now in Napa.
That guy moves from winery to winery more than any human I know.
Come over there, and that's a great thing because people will follow him anywhere.
Yeah.
He arranged an interview for Tara with Peter Mondavi Jr.
Wow.
For their 75th anniversary. So that's just like...
So are the Forbes wine guys, wine people, were mad at you for moving into wine?
You know what? I haven't told them yet, but
she writes
good idea.
Too.
Yeah.
She writes for Food and Wine magazine as well. Too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so if my editor is listening, I told her I was interviewing him, but I haven't heard back yet. So, you know, hire me to give you the story, man.
Yeah, so that was really, really cool. It should be pretty exciting. And then she has to leave Tuesday.
Yeah, it is the Hop Monk Brouhaha on the drive. And KSRO, as always, with Mark Carpenter, who started with Anchor in San Francisco in 71, the world beating her Linda, who travels everywhere. So does Mark. We'll talk about that more. So does Tara Nuren, the beer and spirits writer for Forbes. Talk about quickly, Herlinda, about the Hop Monk beer situation, because they're amazing.
God, they're doing all of it.
Well, Mike?
Dan Gordon still makes a lot of their beers, but
Gordon
they're also
beers,
beers
yeah.
from all
and
over
course,
the place.
Of course, Dean Biersch owns the Hop Monks and the Pengrove Roadhouse, but the two of them work together, and they still, and there's some great Gordon Biersch kind of stuff.
And good food, and always good beer.
Steve, I wanted to get a quick shout-out to Willoughby's. The great liquor store here in Santa Rosa and in Petaluma. And, you know, the only animals you can bring on to the smart train are companion animals. So if you need a companion beer, they sell them right across the street from the smart station in Petaluma at Willoughby's.
Sonny, the folk, Sonny from Willoughby's, they're great people.
They're great people, and it's the selection there is unbelievable.
Yeah, talk about.
And he mentioned how the people in his store are so helpful, and they were to me just the other day. They're really something, and just fabulous beers.
Yeah, and they have that treasures room where you can find rarities and stuff for Valentine's Day. But the Santa Rosa one, you can they actually have basically a bar in there where you can get beers on tap and wines on tap. They have one of those argon systems. And every Thursday, like tonight, they are doing a tasting. And every Saturday, they do a distilling tasting. So that's going to be
really
good.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and we can talk about them right after talking about Hop Monk because they're not a live music venue.
Correct.
The beers at Hop Monk are amazing.
They're more
Gordon
of a bottle
Biersch.
Shop.
Yeah, it's more of a bottle shop.
Correct, exactly.
Which is a great idea. And there is one in Petaluma. Now they're at 3rd and D downtown.
Yeah, right across
Santa
from
Rosa.
The smart train station.
There you go. And it's willoughbys.com. Willoughby's is Willoughbees.
I'm going to take Tara there because they do ship beer and wine, so she can pick up some stuff to send home to Philadelphia.
Oh, my God, we're done.
What?
What happened?
How'd that happen?
We were time flies when you're having fun, and we always have fun here.
Tara Nuren, thank you so much. Good to see you again. Have a great night, everyone.